T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Our retro show of the week, being that it's Doug and I, Jess is off today. We get to do these things before we get to what he does best, taking all of you to Italy, telling you why you should call in today, get on the line and discuss everything that has to do with gardening on the Organic Gardeners. And right now, it is the 10th caller that wins a $25 gift certificate from your friends at Sorgles, 412-922-1020. Johnny Flavin producing today. The Carnegie Kid, as I like to call him, grew up in that great community. In for the Bambino, who's enjoying the day off. Linda Lavin, Vic Tayback, of course, Alice. I haven't seen it in years. It was on for 8 years. I caught a little bit of it.
8 seasons.
Yeah. Jeez. And I mean, you know, she was really still is very talented.
She was in a recent CBS sitcom, but I don't know if it's still on.
Anyway, Vic Tayback, who died really young, just was such a dynamic character.
Character actor.
Yeah, and I miss those type of sitcoms. I mean, I know they're doing them today, but there was something special about the 70s and what they were doing at television, at really the major networks. Anyway, it's always something special you're doing. So this Italy thing, let's begin by talking about how you're heading once again to Italy.
Yes, I am. I am taking people to Italy. I've been taking gardeners around the world for years now, and we've had so much fun. It's just fun to get everyone together. I see people all the time like, oh, we were in London together. It's just so much fun. We're going to be traveling together from April 24th through May 4th next year, exploring a lot of the country. That might seem like a long time from now, but I'm only taking 40 people, and I'm already halfway there to signing everybody up for the seats. One of the highlights is going to be seeing those Vatican Gardens. It's hard to get in, and they are spectacular. The trip also includes everything in Rome, like Colosseum. We're going to then go down to the Amalfi Coast, Sorrento, the Isle of Capri, Pompeii. I've never seen Pompeii. This is my third time in Italy. We're going to visit Naples.
Third time?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We're going to visit Naples and lots of other places. The people in Italy are lovely, and the food is truly, truly unbelievable. Of all the cool stuff that there is to do in Italy, you know, and seeing all these historic sites and everything, the food, I can't tell you how excited I am to experience the food again. We have a local guide that comes with us from the time we land and helps us all the way through this, every step of the way, speaks the language, knows the places to eat and the whole bit. It's an easy way to travel. We always discover new gardens during our free time at every step, too. If you're interested, want to find out more, all the details are at DougOster.com and EverybodyGardens.com. I just posted some stuff on my Facebook page this morning. Or you can just give me a call. My cell phone is 412-965-3278. That's 412-965-3278. And Rob, I got to tell you about an event I was at last night. I was the MC of the Change of Heart Gala. And I've been working with this charity. They bring in young people, and those young people serve by working with these underserved populations. You know, sometimes it's the homeless, just people that need help. And they bring them in for a year, set them up with a place to stay. So this was like a main fundraiser for this. And I've been, usually I'm a celebrity bartender, but I worked my way up to MC. But when it was probably 12 years ago or so, it was at another location where the sister house at Mount Alvernia in Millvale, and I met Sister Trudy back in the kitchen, and they wanted to know how to grow garlic. And so a couple weeks after I saw them, you know, this is over a decade ago, I went to the place, and I brought a few bulbs of garlic, and I showed them how to plant it. And every year since, whenever I go to the event, every year, the Change of Heart Gala, I bring a couple bulbs of garlic for planting for Sister Trudy. Well, this year I gave her garlic, and she said, well, wait, I have something for you, because the sisters are moving.
Are they?
They're all going to be moving to a new place up in Wexford, and so she's not going to have that garden. And she gave me this big silver St. Francis garden ornament, metal garden ornament from her garden.
Neat.
She says, put it in your garden now. And I was so touched. I was so touched by this, that she would think of me. You know, I love giving away garlic. Tomorrow we're doing a video where I'm going around to all my friends giving away garlic. It's going to be so much fun. But I don't think anything of it. You know, here's a couple heads of garlic. But to pull something out of your garden and give it to me, St. Francis is the patron saint of all living things. And so I'm...
Including garlic.
Including garlic and, you know, the chipmunks that are eating my beets and everybody, everything else. So that was just the most wonderful thing.
Listen, I have to also thank you for what you did for my friends, the incredible people at Sisters of St. Joseph in Baden. I remember when you came there, boy, it was like a rock star showing up. I mean, that's all they wanted to talk about, Doug Oster.
Well, actually, last night, Sister Barbara Ann came running over to me. She goes, "Are you Doug Oster? I always listened to you. I wonder what you looked like." And she brought me over to her table. She was just so excited. It was a great night. Great night. Our friend John Oprasik had some art there to be auctioned off, and we just had fun for a great cause. It was back to the 50s, and they had the best Elvis tribute artist that I'd ever seen, a local guy, and oh man, we just had a ball.
Nuns have fun. I love the nuns of the Diocese of Pittsburgh. Good people. Okay, listen, before we take a break, I want to talk about what I just got a text message from Dr. Wong. First time ever anybody has ever sent, and I've been so busy, Dr. Wong, I haven't had a chance to really respond to you because it's just been a busy morning. You know, feral cats, wild cats, you know, they're roaming around, and we've never really looked at them as somebody who could be causing havoc in the garden.
Oh, yeah, we have.
Well, okay, I don't remember us talking about it, but he wants to know, what do you do? He said he's tried mothballs, ammonia. What do you do?
You know, there are commercial products available at either through your vet, like Dr. Mike.
You don't want to harm them, obviously.
No, but you want to repel them. Once they've started to use your garden as a litter box, it's really difficult.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, yeah, it's really difficult. But places like your local vet or the big pet stores will have a repellent that you can use that will not hurt the cat, but will keep it away. Of course, just like anything else, you know, a young dog definitely helps chase cats out, just like they chase the deer and chase the groundhog and chase everything else. Now, the cats will go after the chipmunks. So it's all the balance of nature.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We're going to get right to your phone calls. I'd love to hear from you. 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. You can text us on the Red Automotive Line, the best deal in town. Good morning. All right, please, if you have a question for Doug, the Organic Gardener's back on the air. Get on the phone and give us a call, 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. Text on the Red Automotive Line, best deal in town. All the ways to prepare potatoes coming up next hour in the Coons Cooking Hour. Let's head out to Bethel Park. First call for Doug today. It's John. John, welcome to KDK Radio. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, John, what's going on?
Well, I ordered some coneflowers. And they came in, they're bare root to be planted. And I went to buy some compost. And when I got to the garden center, the only thing they had left was mushroom compost. Can you tell me about that? How to use it? When is it safe?
It's not my favorite thing to use. But again, if that's the only thing they have, it's a great source of organic matter. Probably not that much as far as nutrients. Our only concern ever with mushroom manure is just where the pH is. I think that bag stuff is going to be okay for you, something especially for coneflower. Dig it in. Next season, I would consider maybe mulching with just a pure compost, and I think you'll be okay. No real issues with using it. It's all, you know, rotted down, ready to go. Won't burn it or anything like that. So I wouldn't worry at all. And get those coneflowers in, get them established, and then those are going to be blooming for you for years to come. That's awesome. Great plant.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, John.
Hey, one thing, let me interject here real quick. We were just talking about Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown, and they're in the final episodes. You know, it amazes me when he traveled throughout the world, how many people still, their gardens were their only substance of food and nutrition and a way to stay alive. You know, and I was at Janoski's yesterday afternoon, and, you know, the harvest is in and all of this stuff, and just beautiful and bountiful. Tell the folks who are cleaning out their gardens, if they've got an abundance of produce, don't forget your favorite place, the community.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, I was actually just down in Washington County talking to the food bank down there about their garden, what they're doing. And in Washington County, they have 49 different pantries that you could donate to. So you don't have to drive to the actual food bank. There are local places close to your house. You just need to find them, whether it's a church, a little pantry, that you could donate some extra produce if you had it, and there's nothing like it for people. You know, you've got to have, you know, foods that don't spoil and that sort of thing for people that need these foods. But to get something fresh, you know, when you give it to them, they're going to turn it right around. And they have a garden down in the back of the Washington County Food Bank that is just amazing, you know, raised beds. And now they're taking shipping containers. They've got like four big giant shipping containers that are going to convert into growing hydroponic stuff out of. There's a high school down there that does it. Trinity does it also. And they donate a lot of the produce that they make out of that high school hydroponic program. So food banks in general are always looking for and trying to figure out ways to have fresh food.
Do we have them throughout the region?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
In Beaver County even?
Yeah, oh, sure, sure. There's a lot, you know, they want the pantry to be close to the client's house, you know, so that you don't have to drive so far or you know, take a bus.
How do you get the food? How do you qualify for the food?
Every food bank is a little bit different, but usually it's just, you know, you fill out a form. If you have need, you can get the food. That's basically what it is.
Good.
You know, this is, you know, again, I won't keep harping on this, but these are working poor. These are kids. These are seniors. These are people that are trying to make it. And this isn't all their food. It's just something to make ends meet. And it's important that as a society, we help that out. And I know gardeners want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and we all have an abundant, you know what I mean, supply. Let's go to Susan in Verona for Doug Oster. Jessica Wallace are off today, the organic gardeners. Go ahead, Susan.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for
Good
calling.
Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Ordinarily, I wouldn't ask this question, but I am late this year. Is it too late to plant new tulip and daffodil bulbs?
Not at all. You're right in prime time.
I just had a retaining wall fixed. I couldn't plant them until now.
Oh, no worries at all. In fact, I'm planting bulbs all the way up until the ground freezes. And that's how I'm getting them cheap. You know,
that's coming.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, actually for the ground, we might get a frost on top, but for the ground to freeze solid, that's not usually till December. And so there's still plenty of time to plant. Just remember with your tulips, that's the favorite food of deer in the spring. So take that under advisement. But boy, daffodils, nothing's going to eat your daffodils. And there are 13 different divisions of daffodils. I love planting daffodils more than anything because, you know, I'm glad you're planting bulbs because people aren't planting bulbs as much as they used to. I talk about this all the time. It's not instant gratification, but the gratification you get in spring is just unbelievable to see those beautiful flowers. They're not around that long, you know, but if you plant it out right with daffodils, you can have them blooming right after the crocus all the way until your tulips are blooming. So a good 6 weeks of bloom with early varieties, mid-season varieties, and late varieties. Go to your local nursery and find some cool varieties. You know, I'm glad you brought up bulbs because I wanted to talk about some of the other ones. Snowdrops. Snowdrops are just these little itty-bitty bulbs, and they can bloom as early as January 15th, depending on our winter. And I'll tell you what, it's only a 3-inch tall little white flower, but when you got something blooming in January or February, I start running around the house saying, hey, it's spring. And they're like, no, there's going to be more snow. And I'm like, no, I don't care. Something bloomed. There's no stopping us now. And another one I want to tell you about is called Glory of Snow. And it blooms, they're little short blue flowers with white centers. The deer won't eat them. They form a beautiful carpet after a few years, and again, they're small bulbs, so they're easy to plant. When you're planting your tulips and your daffodils, you're going to have to go down three times as deep as the actual bulb. So you're talking probably 6-8 inches. I use a bulb auger. I love bulb augers. It's just this little drill bit that fits on a drill. You might not have a lot of bulbs. I'm doing 1,000 a year.
Wow.
And with your retaining wall, you might have nice, fresh, easy-to-plant soil. You could just dig your bulbs in. But this glorious snow, once you get those started, they'll just come back forever. that's basically what it'll be. Forever, you're going to have this beautiful carpet right after the crocus bloom of these blue flowers with white centers. I plant more and more every year to keep it going, and it's just there are lots of bulbs out there when you go to the nursery that you might not know a lot about. You know, there's your tulips, daffodils, hyacinths, and crocus, but there's a lot of other cool stuff you can plant in the same way and get the enjoyment in the spring. So for your retaining bed there, I'm going to give you some more work to do, okay?
Okay.
Thank you
very much. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to have Fred wait until after the news. Kind of getting up against a break here in just a moment. You know, I mentioned I was out at Janoski's, and coming up first part of November, Patty Janoski and I are working on getting people together from Brunton's Dairy, McElhaney Farms, and Seibel Farms, where they have, you know, chickens and eggs and what have you. I want to do a couple of little videos just to promote local farming. And you know what's amazing? When you get off the beaten path, and a lot of times I'll head home, Route 18, Route 30, what have you, there's a lot of farming communities here in Western Pennsylvania that a lot of people just don't ever see.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you what, you know, the produce you can get from Janoski's, which wouldn't call that a small farm. That's a
that's a nice that's, farm.
That's in how many counties?
Boy, I got to tell you, Doug,
it's a four-county farm, I think.
In fact, every county, their property actually, Allegheny, Beaver, Butler, and Washington County.
Yeah. There's smaller farms doing kind of the same sort of thing. That fresh produce, you know, that you can get at a local farm is just to die for. You know, it doesn't have to be shipped, you know, across the country. And, boy, when I go to Janoski's, I like to buy the big stock of Brussels sprouts. It's already on the stalk. That's the way to buy Brussels sprouts. You cut those off, cut them in half, put a little olive oil, sea salt on them, roast them, go to heaven.
The people that were there yesterday, the crowd, and it brought, because I hadn't been there on the weekend in a long time. I mean, they had the wonderful law enforcement of Clinton out there directing traffic. People were lined up literally from one end of the farmer's market to the next trying to get to the cash register line, and they were just all happy and smiling, and it was fun.
And whether you're north, south, east, or west, there's a place for you that's doing this.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Sorgles, of course, is one of them, and we gave that gift certificate away, and we're going to be giving them one away from Janoski's in just a couple of moments.
Yeah, actually, last night I ran into a guy whose son works at Sorgles, and he was telling me, you know, his kid's like 26. He's actually got a little farm that he's starting in Beaver.
Nice.
Yeah, and he was just raving about working for the Sorgle family. You can't find a better person than Randy Sorgle, and that's a great place to work. It's hard work.
Farmers are the best of the best. Love them. All right, listen, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back. And when we do, we're going to get right back to your phone call. So if you have something you want to talk to Doug about, get on the line right now, 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. Text us on the right on the middle line. Best deal in town. Coons Market happens to sell a lot of the locally grown product from various farms. And coming up next hour, potatoes and all the different ways you can mash them, you can fry them, you can bake them. We're going to talk to Joe and Frank about that. They're going to join us live on location in Cincinnati today. Good morning. All right, let's make it to the 10th caller right now to win that gift certificate from the good folks at Janoski's, 412-922-1020. Anything else on your mind before we get back to
work? No, let's see what we can do here.
All right, let's go to Fred Laurel Gardens up next for Doug Oster on the Organic Gardeners. Go ahead, Fred. Good morning.
Yeah, Rob, how are you guys doing today, Doug?
We're doing good. How are you this morning?
Good. I was just down Hahn's the other day, and I bought some garlic, okay? The lady was very helpful in telling me how to plant it. But I went on the internet. What's the reason that it says do not plant the garlic where onions were?
That's because when we talk about planting garlic, pests and diseases are few, but they are devastating. And so there is one disease called white rot that could transfer over from, you know, that's what... from another garlic bed or anything from the same family,
right.
Onions. And so we always try and move that garlic around in the garden and not go onion to onion to garlic. Because I have a couple friends that have got that disease, and that happens, you cannot grow garlic in that bed for years, basically, until you somehow remediate that disease out of there. And so it's always a good idea to rotate your crops if you can do it. In my case, I got a little map of my garden. I just, everything goes to the right through the beds, you know, and just rotates year after year. Each plant uses different nutrients and diseases, especially with those root crops like onions and garlic. That's an important thing to think about when you're planting your garlic. Do you remember what kind you got?
No, it starts with a G.
Okay, I was trying to. Oh, German white. German white. It's a German white. That's a great one. I know they have German white, music, and Chesnock red there. All three are great for
that. That might have been it. The red.
Yeah, is it kind of a purpley looking bulb?
No, but it's white bulb. But it's
all right. That's
just a regular one of those.
Probably German white. That's a great variety. A lot of my friends love that German white. You're gonna enjoy that. Split those cloves up. Put them about 3 inches down, 6 inches apart in good soil. And then, you know what? Really important to put a nice blanket of straw on top of there. I had some garlic growers last year that had some smaller bulbs, and some had some bulbs didn't make it without that nice layer of mulch. And so I've got a video out there on Everybody Gardens showing you how I plant my garlic.
All right, Red Automotive text message, best deal in town. When is the best time to prune endless summer hydrangea? Thank you.
Well, in general, you really don't even want to touch them. You know, the good thing about endless summer is that it produces buds on old wood, but also on new wood. If it's in the way, I would do it, I guess, right after they bloom in the summer. And then the new growth would sprout buds. That's the way I would do it for endless summer.
All right, Rob, let's say hi to Kathy in Gibsonia. Hey, Kathy, how you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Good.
What's on your mind?
Question for you. I've got a couple of trees. One of them is an ornamental crabapple. And around the beginning of September, they lost all their leaves. And I actually had thought a couple of them had died. And now all of a sudden they've put on new leaves, and actually the one crabapple has started to bloom. What would be causing something like this?
Well, it's hard to tell why it lost the leaves, but I could only guess and say it's probably some kind of fungal issue, which is very common in crabapples. But there's also a weather issue here. We've seen some plants starting to bloom before they should. You know, in fact, actually when I walked into the church yesterday for the Change of Heart Gala, I saw rhododendron throwing a couple blooms, not the whole thing. But again, flowering crabs are tough as nails. And so I'm guessing you had a fungal issue because we've had such a rainy season, lost the leaves, and now the plant is trying to, with the warm weather, trying to pump out some new growth and then new flower and some flowers too. But I wouldn't worry about it. I would just let it, now that things have cooled off, it's going to slow down. It's going to do its thing, and just keep a close eye on it next spring. And as I said, they're just so tough that it's not something to worry about.
Okay. I just had never seen anything quite like it before.
Well, it's kind of weird season, really weird season. All right.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. So how do you shut the garden down for the year?
Well, you know, I've learned a lot from Jessica about doing this. Yeah. I never cut mine all back like she used to. You know, when she tells a story about teaching at Phipps way back when, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, that dates her, huh? how they would say to cut everything back, make it pretty. But as a bug person and, trying to allow nature to do its thing, the conventional wisdom for perennials and grasses, things like that, is just to leave them up. But in the vegetable garden, you know, I'm removing anything that's tender. And so actually tomorrow, all those tomato vines will come out. In my case, at the end of the season, most of my tomatoes had succumbed to fungal diseases. All I got left are vines. Those aren't going to go into the compost pile. Those go into like a separate area. You know, a lot of people will burn them, bag them, because they have diseases. You don't want to put them in the compost pile. But I got plenty of other stuff that looks healthy. That's, you know, pepper plants are at the end. I'll take all the peppers off and I'll just compost the foliage. And then I like to, in the vegetable garden, I like to put a nice layer of compost on those beds. And then, again, a nice blanket of straw to hold that compost in place. In some parts of the garden, I'll plant a cover crop. A cover crop holds the soil in place and it becomes a green manure. You can cut it down and then put it back into the soil. So getting the annuals out for me is the most important thing.
So yesterday, and thanks to another great journalist, I never forget this day, was the anniversary of Bill Mazeroski hitting the home run. Forbes Phil Bob Dvorak, of course, who had truly one of the biggest selling papers ever for the wonderful Pittsburgh Post-Gazette when he did the story on the 1960 Pirates. But this is where my mind goes. I was thinking about the ivy on the wall, okay, and Wrigley Field as well now. And there really was a thought process when they were building these stadiums as far as gardens and the grass and all the stuff that goes into it. As beautiful as these ballparks are today, the grass is one thing, but they don't really go above and beyond like they did back in the glory days of baseball.
I don't know. If you take a look at PNC.
Well, it's beautiful.
Yeah, but first in the outfield, they had some pine trees out there.
There you go.
They didn't make it. So now they've got like a hedge out there that is trimmed to say Pirates. But if you look at the outside plantings around PNC, they're pretty awesome. You know, that's a tough area to landscape.
Is it because of the soil, because of the river?
No, it's because all the idiots walking by, they're throwing their cigarette butts in there.
Oh, stop
it
that.
It is. It's from, you know, when you have how many thousands of people walking by, it becomes a problem to keep your landscaping looking good. And so they have a lot of tough plants growing around the stadium that are beautiful. You know, I think when you had a Forbes Field and a Wrigley Field, you know, it's just like, what are we going to put in here? How about some ivy? Nothing kills ivy. Okay, we'll put some ivy in. Hey, that looks pretty good after 100 years growing up the wall. That's pretty nice.
Can't find the ball, though, but it's good.
Yeah.
Once ivy starts, it just doesn't stop, though.
First year it sleeps. Second year it creeps. Third year it leaps.
All right. But, you know, back in the 50s, all of these ranch houses, my parents, they all had them up going up the side of the chimney. Well, ivy was like, you know, I think by the time I left the house, the ivy had come down through the chimney into the house.
Just like Santa Claus. The thing about ivy is we lost so much of it when we had that polar vortex. About 5-6 seasons ago, we had a really crazy winter, and this thing called a polar vortex came in. And ivy, which had been growing forever all around Pittsburgh in neighborhoods and such, was killed off. And we'd never saw that before. It just shows you the anomalies that nature can throw at us as gardeners. You know, it's just every few seasons we have to have the lesson that Mother Nature is in charge.
So I have to ask you, because you and Jessica are such advocates, got about a minute before the break. So global warming, they're saying as soon as, like, 30 years, we could start to feel some major effects.
Yeah, it's scary. Yeah. Something's changed. You know, again, it's for the scientists. It's not for some guy like me to tell you what's going on. But it's something's changed. You know, when Jessica talks about the bugs moving up to our area that haven't been here before, when we have these weird weather patterns and such, it's definitely scary.
I saw a thing the other day on National Geographic about killer bees and how they have kind of where
yeah,
they,
I
where
hope
they
we don't
were.
Get those. I hope we don't
but
get
I
those.
But, I mean, they're like into our country, Texas, and moving up.
Yeah,
California.
I don't think they can take the cold, though. You know?
Good. Good.
They're great pollinators, though, I've heard.
Really?
Yeah, and they make good honey, so.
Yeah, to die for. No. Well, I mean, that little stuff like that, it just kind of makes you
well,
go.
Even the stuff that Jessica talks about these bugs that have moved up that are on her tomatoes now.
She's never seen before.
No, we've never had them here before.
She
has a change. A change in something. When you see it in the animals, that's when you know that's, you know, something is changing.
Well, look at the tick problem, too.
Yeah. Oh.
That's something else. All right, listen, we'll take a very short break. We're going to come back. We want to hear from you. It's all about organic gardening. It's gardening. It's Doug Oster. Jessica Walliser is off today and next week. Doug is here, so call us. 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com.
Time for Mrs. Know-It-All. She's a grower, horticulturist, and our garden goddess, Denise Schreiber. How are you this morning?
Good. So talking about bulbs, you know, you can still order from a lot of the bulb catalogs because they'll start shipping this month, and you can get some lilies. My lily order actually came 2 days ago, and I'll be planting them out. I got one called Silk Road that some people may have seen pictures of. It's the second year for it. It is 6 foot tall, and it has, oh, I'd say about 15 blooms on it.
Wow.
And it is extremely fragrant.
Do you have
more
deer?
Fragrant than Casablanca.
Do you have deer?
I do somewhat. Now, actually, the best soil on my property is actually in my vegetable garden, but it backs up to my flower garden, so I actually plant it right at the fence in the vegetable garden, mm-hmm. because I know it's going to be taller than everything else. So it is, you know, somewhat protected. But you can also use the sprays. I find that the deer are more interested in foliage by the time these bloom. So, you know, keeping your foliage sprayed is always good.
Yeah, I've had to. I don't keep up with my spraying, so I've had to move my lilies into my vegetable garden, which is okay.
Yeah, and one thing about planting lilies especially is, this is a piece of advice from Brent Heath from Brent and Becky's, is they really like to be planted deep. You don't want to mm-hmm. be too shallow when you're planting them, because they really like to be cool. They like good soil. That, you know, you can't plant it in our clay without amending it. But the cooler the roots, the happier the bulb is going to be, and it will survive longer for you planting, and it will multiply. So that's the other reason to kind of amend the soil there. But, you know, that's it. They like full sun and cool roots, much like clematis, kind of the same thing.
And that fragrance. There's nothing like that fragrance.
Yeah, you know, we'd walk outside and everybody's going, what's that smell? It smells so good. And so you know where my vegetable garden is from mm-hmm. my house. I can smell it all the way to my back door.
Wow. Well,
so you know that's really fragrant.
That's awesome. Thank you very much. That sounds wonderful, planting some lilies.
What is that?
Planting some lilies.
Let's go to Sandra in Aliquippa. Sandra, how are you? Good morning. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning, and happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday.
Thank you. You know what? My question was, my husband and I purchased St. John's Wort, and it's called Magical Universe. And we actually have it planted on the side of our house. Now, the original plant is pushing out offshoots about 5 inches long that are now flowering and have berries on it. But we're concerned about those offshoots. When the snow comes and it's heavy, it's going to break them off. Should we start trimming those back?
I wouldn't worry about that at all. You know, that St. John's wort is again, another one that's tough as nails. And I wouldn't worry about those offshoots. The snow will do its thing, but instead of cutting them off, you know, if the snow smashes them down, then cut them off later. But I wouldn't touch it.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, wrap up the hour with Doug Oster of the Organic Gardeners. Next hour, it is all about potatoes and all the ways to prepare them.
Hey, wouldn't you love to go to Italy with me?
Like tonight.
Yeah. Taking gardeners around the world for years. We're traveling together in April, going to Italy, exploring most of the country, starting in Rome, going down to the Amalfi Coast. I'm only taking 40 people. We're already halfway there. You can save money by booking in October. I know it's a long way away, but it's going to sell out. All my trips do. We're going to have so much fun. Vatican Gardens and the Gardens of Rome, then down to the Amalfi Coast, Sorrento, Isla Capri, Pompeii, lots more, Naples. The
How
people.
Are you going to be gone? Like 3 months?
No. We're going to do, I think it's 11 days, something like that. You can get it all in. It's going to be fun. It's easy. You get a local guide, tells you where to go. You get on and off the bus. Just an easy way to travel. If you're interested in coming with me to Italy in April, go to DougOster.com or EverybodyGardens.com, or just give me a call, 412-965-3278. That's 412-965-3278. Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden
and a safer place to live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.